All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 72. I'm ComboBreaker99, and this is probably going to be a video slash podcast episode, which, you know, I always post them on my YouTube channel anyway. But I just got done watching the Ari Helwani interview with Ioana, you know, the MMA Hour interview. And I just want to go back here and just kind of talk about this in full, do a whole discussion episode on this one. And the question is, after watching this interview here that I have for y'all, and for myself, is Ioana living in the past or is she living off of the past? Because after watching this interview, because like I said, I like to watch these interviews because I like to kind of study the mental of these fighters and certain things they say and just kind of read between the lines. And I like to study their body language and their mental language, you know, as far as how they deliver. So, I had to sit down and watch this thing again because there were some interesting points here that I'm going to bring up in this episode. Yeah, so let's get into it. Yeah, before I forget, also on this episode, I want to talk about Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Shields and Abigail Montez. As y'all know, last Wednesday, Clarissa Shields, you know, she got her first L in the world of mixed martial arts. And, you know, a lot of people are feeling some type of way about it. Boxing fans feel one way. MMA fans feel one way. And then Clarissa Shields fans feel another way. So, there's a lot of fans here, you know, with mixed feelings, and I just want to talk a little bit about it as a whole. You know, me just coming, I'm all three. You know, I'm all of the above. I like Clarissa, I love boxing, and I love MMA. But, you know, somewhere is the balance for Clarissa here, you know, and I just want to talk about that here first. So, yeah, man, to kick it off, yeah, last Wednesday, this was a fight, like I said, Clarissa Shields versus Abigail Montez. This was a fight where it was pretty much legit on the line. Like, last fight, you know, her MMA debut, I know where people were coming from, you know, where people felt like Brittany Elkin was going to submit or stop Clarissa possibly, right? I could see that more just because of the fact, you know, Brittany Elkin had all this experience, but I still couldn't pick her because I just never really seen her level up in some of her past fights. You know, Clarissa's hunger is just stronger, and her ability to still fight is there. But in this fight here, we didn't know much about Abigail Montez, only what we've seen. Like, I've seen her fights, you know, I've seen her two fights before going into this one. And, you know, I seen some of her background, of course, her amateur experience with the Lobo Gym, but still performing to a professional level was still yet to be seen. You know, that's why this was the perfect fight for Clarissa and vice versa, you know, 1-0, 2-0. Both are still trying to establish themselves, right? So the fight pretty much, you know, had the intensity of, you know, two up and comers trying to make their statement. But when it came down to it, Montez just had that experience that's needed to be a mixed martial artist. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's why people have to understand, like, you know, boxing fans really have to understand that the world of mixed martial arts is just a different animal. You know, losses come early in your career. Improvements come down the line. You know, being dominant comes down the line. Like boxing, a lot of guys, they can come in, you know, like your Floyds, even back in the day, all the way up to now, Devin Haney, they can dominate because it's all about the science of the hands and the footwork. You know what I mean? Your only weapon is hands, and that's it. So when you can master that at a young age, you're good to go. You could be dominant. You know, you could be gifted with speed, or gifted with power, and it can carry you throughout your career. Whereas MMA, not everybody is going to feel comfortable on the ground, fighting off their back, fighting in the clinch, learning jiu-jitsu. Well, if you're from Brazil, jiu-jitsu might be more comfortable, but hands, you know, boxing might not be a thing. You know, if you're from Thailand, you know, Muay Thai might be a thing, but jiu-jitsu might not be a thing. You know what I mean? So yeah, wrestling for, let's say, fighters here in America, you know, a lot of American fighters say they learn how to wrestle. It's good to have that foundation first. And that's why you see a lot of fighters, you know, succeed that can't come from the wrestling background or grappling background, because they're used to getting down and switching levels and bending at the knees in different ways and just really overpowering their opponent by putting, you know, that pressure on them, because not everybody has that type of hand-eye coordination for boxing. You know what I mean? So boxing is a special sport too. You know, don't get me wrong, it is special, but the experience levels, the improvements are just kind of done in different ways. Like, boxing is one sport, so you can learn that from day one, age 7, and go on and become one of the best. Whereas, like I said, mixed martial arts, you have to be introduced to so much at a young age, but sometimes even then, fighters aren't introduced to everything until they get to a certain middle part of their career, when maybe they won enough or lost, where there it's time to expand. But the ones that come in with those solid ground games, they tend to prosper more, if that makes sense. So somebody like Abigail Montes, she came into the game with a mix of everything. And Clarissa Shields, boxing, strictly boxing. You know, she came over because of the money, and you know, she got a bit of a rude awakening in this fight. You know, but with that being said, I don't think that should discourage her. I don't think it's going to frustrate her and make her just leave the game. That's what boxing fans were saying, like, oh, she need to leave now. She got a taste of losing, so it's going to mess up her mojo for boxing. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But, you know, boxing is her realm. You don't know. She'll probably feel comfortable going straight back to it. It's like I made the comparison in my other video. You know, she's a lioness. You know, maybe she got pulled into the water, nearly mauled by a crocodile in this situation, right? But when she comes out the water and she hits the plains, she's trying to hunt down that gazelle, or, you know, hunt down one of those warthogs, it's going to be easy for her, right? It's going to fall right back into place because it's instinct. You know, she learned boxing at a young age, so that's her instinct, is to just hunt on the plane. So she might not feel that type of way. You know, she's not going to feel gun shy, right? Because that's her sport. So yeah, box fans don't have to worry about that. When she comes back to boxing, she'll still be the same fighter. But MMA, like I said, so much different. Where you can take an L early on in your career, and you have to build off of that. It's not over. You have to build off of that and go from there. Like I said, Chris Cyborg, Zhang Weili, they lost their first fights, and then look, they went on long streaks and became dominant, you know, because they didn't have everything at the time. You know, Clarissa doesn't have everything right now. She's got a good hand game and some decent takedown defense to a certain extent, but there's still a lot of things like stance that needs to be worked on, kicks that have to be worked on. She has to be a fluid striker and not just resorting back to boxing. Fluid striker means, you know, footwork has to be in position to throw kicks and duck kicks, and be in position to get out of the way of clinches like Abigail Montes was putting on her. You know, so Abigail Montes, like I said, not the best striker, but her footwork was better, like an MMA striker. You know, Clarissa's boxing was better, but overall, the fundamentals of Abigail Montes' MMA striking was better. That's why she was landing kicks, right? And landing kicks and being able to get in a position where she could clinch Clarissa and just shut down her boxing. Now, Clarissa had her moments. Yeah, she definitely had her moments. And I want to make this point, too. I think Clarissa's power carries over a little bit more in MMA, because you can see in them right hands, Abigail Montes wanted no parts of those shots. You know, Clarissa threw some big punches, big overhand rights that looked like they would do damage. And it might be because of the gloves and like the way she can position her body and put all that force behind it, you know, and fight it at 155, right? So, yeah, like I think, you know, her power definitely probably will carry, but she just has to get used to positioning her feet. So, yeah, man, a lot of stuff to work on. But if she loves it, you know, it'll be fun. You know, it'll be a fun, hard road. It'll be some hard times, of course, you know, mastering fighting off of her back, because, you know, Abigail Montes had her in positions on full mount where she looked lost again, you know. So it's just a matter, like I said, to boxing fans, it's just a matter of her getting the grasp of a little bit of everything here. You don't have to be great at everything, but also being humble and understanding, like, the same braggadocious style you carry in boxing can't really be carried in MMA, you know what I mean? And I think some ways people in MMA, they wanted to see her fail at this, you know. Like, you can get that kind of sense, because she was so untouchable at boxing that they do kind of want to see her fail. So you kind of have to tone it down in this sport and take it step by step and just kind of know the sport, know your enemies, and just kind of look, you know, just kind of sit back and observe, you know what I mean? Especially if it's a sport, like I said, you didn't grow up with. You have to sit in silence and just study and take notes, versus where boxing, if you grow up in it, you can own it, right? But from here, I say Clarissa Shields definitely has to work on her wrestling and her clinch game, because Abigail Montes was strong and she was pinning her at times, but also just the MMA striking. Like, she was resorting back to boxing stance too much here, and she was leaning in with her punches because she was trying to avoid the leg kicks. You know, she didn't want to get her leg touched, so she wasn't, like, you know, fully stepping in with her shots. She was reaching too much. So just little stuff like that. I mean, we'll always talk about this over here, because, like I said, we want to see different fighters and their growth coming from boxing or wherever. like I said, whatever comes to mind, again, and, you know, I'll talk about it in a live stream. But yeah, in this segment on the podcast, I just want to address, like, boxing fans, you know, that are thinking she'll be the greatest off of one win, or maybe if she won this fight, they would have been saying she had been the greatest. But I'm like, nah, man, this is a long road. This is a different road, you know. But boxing fans say she'll be a champion in MMA one day. That's still yet to be seen. You see, a lot of women don't just get to touch the title, you know, like that. There's been dominant champions, and then there's girls that win it once and then lose it. Then there's girls that just never touch it, right? Boxing is a little bit easier because there's multiple belts and the competition isn't as good. But for Clarissa here in this world, with only two fights in the game and how she's been looking compared to some of these other, you know, prospects that tend to have a, you know, lot going for them that still can't touch the belt, I still think, you know, Clarissa is not in any type of talks of title yet. You know, that's boxing. That's boxing. That's a different world. So anybody saying that Clarissa is going to be champion one day, they have to say, look, first you have to earn your white belt or blue belt or whatever one day first. Master your takedown defense and master some type of wrestling first. Those are medals of its own. Those are belts of its own to me in the world of mixed martial arts. Once you get those certain things down, that's like how you become a champion. You know what I mean? And then you get to climb that ladder against some of the best fighters. So, yeah, box fans, understand it's not over for her. One loss is nothing in MMA, but she's still not going to be champion right away like that. That's a different thing. Y'all got to understand, mastering the jab and mastering the right hand is not the same as mastering jiu-jitsu and mastering takedown defense, all right? As for Abigail Montez, shout out to Montez. Like I said, I had to give her credit, man. You know, she's from a background of, you know, Lobo Gym, and she's been working hard as well, you know. So we'll see what's next for her moving forward. So, yeah, guys, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. Let's jump to this next topic. All right, y'all. So a few days ago, you know, I watched the MMA Hour interview with Joanna, you know, Ariel Juan. He got a chance to interview Joanna. And, you know, he talked about everything from her being out of the rankings to when she's coming back to the octagon to the money situation with her now in the UFC. Like, what's taking her so long to come back and to the, you know, to put on a fight, you know, to put on a fight. And once again, you know, Joanna, she goes into, you know, her whole spiel and everything about when she's going to come back, who she wants to fight, and where she stands right now in the business of mixed martial arts. And the one thing I can say is that Joanna definitely thinks highly of herself. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you need that confidence and that self-confidence or self-reassurance about yourself that, you know, you got this thing, you are the best, and you're worth this. You got to know your worth. You know, she definitely has that master. She thinks highly of herself, and she wants to run the show. Even at some point, she was trying to run this show. I feel like, you know, she was kind of cutting Ariel Helwani off, you know, to get what she needed to say off, you know, even before he even asked the question, you know. So, you know, that's just in her character. But, you know, sometimes there's a point when you have to understand that, again, you know, to hold down your validity in the game, you have to renew your status every now and then, you know, especially when you've been out for nearly 2 years. You know, you have to renew your status. Even if it's just one fight, I keep saying that. And I think the matchmakers in the UFC and Dana White have realized that they probably have already noticed that about Joanna, that she needs at least one fight before you go for a title shot again, which Dana White mentioned in another interview, which he responded to, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But as far as Joanna in this interview, you know, she discussed being taken out of the rankings. And, you know, she said it over and over again. You know, she reiterate that she doesn't care. She just kept saying, I don't care. I don't care. Because, you know, she's Joanna and this and that. You know, she still holds a lot of weight. And, you know, she also mentioned why she was taken out, because she was offered fights. You know, she was offered some fights that she didn't really think were for her. You know, she said everything from 10, 5 to 1. You know, she said she would do. But at the same time, it was like, you know, I just don't want to fight anybody, because they're going to try to give her a good name. You know, they're going to try to give her someone good, a good name, someone that's going to try to use her legacy and her name. But my thoughts on that part right there, that point, was the fact that she said that, it kind of makes you think, okay, like, ain't that how the game works? You know, ain't that how the game works? Like, I was already at a loss for words, because I was like, well, she said they're going to give her somebody that's going to try to use her name or use her status. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's how it works. Like, just like when you get the belt, once you get the belt, this person wants to beat you so they can become champion, right? To be the best, you got to beat the best, right? So it's almost like she was just kind of rewording the whole situation of, you know, not fighting the best at this point, or, you know, fighting like a top legit contender. That's what I got from it. I don't know about y'all, but like I said, these little videos I've been doing, just kind of, you know, studying fighters, their body language, and as far as their mental and some of the things they say, you kind of got to read between the lines and how they, you know, switch up words here. Because Ioana happened to say, you know, it just happened to catch me that, you know, she said, you know, they want to match her up with somebody, or, you know, these fighters now, they want to use her, they want to use Ioana's legacy and use her name to come up off of. But no, it's like, if you're the number two fighter and you're in the rankings, somebody's going to call you out below. You know, somebody below you is going to call you out. And that's how it's always worked, right? Like, that's how the game works. So when she said that, it was kind of like, okay, you just don't want to fight some of these new hungry contenders that are really tough. That's the vibe I got. And again, you know, she said, oh, I don't care who it is, or I don't care being taken out of the rankings. And another thing that kind of turned me off, I know some of y'all have heard in this interview, is the fact that, you know, she turned, you know, when they said, okay, if you turn down fights, you'll be removed. But she said, I was offered stupid fights. You know, I was waiting on Rose and Wei Li. You know, they just offered me some stupid fights. Like, she said that right after. And I was just kind of like, stupid fights? I was like, no fight is stupid in this game right now. No fight is stupid at strawweight. Non-title fight, title fight, every fight is legit at strawweight right now. I mean, that's why this is one of the biggest divisions right now. That's why, you know, most WMMA channels, they consider 115 to be, like they say, the sexy division. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of talent there. There's a lot of solid developed fighters, and they put on some of the most action. You know what I mean? So when she says, you know, she was offered stupid fights, I really don't think there's any stupid fight. Like, 1 through 5, if she got somebody from 1 through 5, that's a good fight. It's still a fight that could do something for her legacy. You know, it just may not be a title fight, but it's a fight that could, you know, put her back on the map, you know, legacy wise and financially, you know. So I just don't understand how she was saying anything is stupid at the same time saying some of these fighters just want to use her. I mean, if that's the case, then, you know, Marina Rodriguez, she wants to use Zhang Wei Li, or, you know, Carla Esparza wants to use Rose Namajunas. You know what I mean? Because that's how the game works, you know. So I just thought, again, that didn't really make any sense that she said that it was the UFC offering her stupid fights, and then they gave her that ultimatum, like, if you don't take one, you'll be taken out. But they did the right thing. You know, she also kind of hinted around like she was being mistreated, and, you know, and felt like she was being used, or she wasn't getting the right money now. And I think that's kind of been a big thing about the UFC. And I'm kind of on the fence with it, you know, because Dana White's running a company. When you think about it, I mean, this is something I'm going to have to kind of break down later. Like, maybe there are some points. I mean, there probably are a lot of points here where fighters do know their worth and they should get more. But that's kind of when you reach that superstar status. Like, guys like Francis Ngannou, I know where they're coming from. But the lower level fighters, even like some of the champions that aren't well known, they need to kind of know their place. Like, this is a company. You know, this ain't somewhere where you can get lottery money. You know, you still have to get paid like a company. You know what I mean? And after Dana White broke it down, having 400 employees, all of this has to be broken down. Everything from the third tier fighters up to the champions. And even, like I said, the champions and the superstars, there's a difference. You know, there's the superstars with belts that put butts in seats that everybody comes out to see, the names that everybody associate with the UFC. And then there's the champions who nobody really knows, but, you know, they still hold some co-main event weight here and there. So you have to still kind of treat them like the company fighters, you know, that don't get paid so much, you know. So Ioana, at this point, the way her resume looks and the names that she brings in, it's decent, but she's not like a Conor McGregor, or even like a Francis Ngannou, or even like a John Jones. You know, she's a few levels below them. You know, let's be honest, like, her title reign was better than Holly Holm's, of course, right? But Holly Holm is even like a bigger star. That's why I say there's a difference between stars and champions. You know, a champion is a champion, you know, for the fact that they're beating everybody and they have the talent and the skills, but they might not bring in that superstar money. Like, it's just like some of the best rappers in the world are some of the most popular rappers in the world are garbage, you know. And that's how I've always felt. You know, there's a lot of guys on MTV and you know, in these big platforms with awards and, you know, selling out millions and millions of, you know, records, however they do it now. You know, these rappers now that sell a lot, they're garbage, right? But they're superstars. But then you have some of these great artists with great lyrics, you know, that aren't that known. You know, they have a decent following. So that's kind of where Ioana is. You know, she's that fighter with substance, but doesn't really have that huge superstar following like a Conor McGregor. That's why I think her money's decent right now. Like, it should be. She's making a lot of money outside of the octagon, but the money she's making, I think it's fair. Like Dana White says, you know, they have a good relationship. You know, she's rich and everything. And the money she's getting is her worth, especially when you look at the record, 2 and 4, right? And she also, again, once again, kind of speaks out about how that she's still in the title mix after putting on a good show with Zhang Weili, like no other fight matters. And I'm kind of, you know, I think we're all kind of over that right now. Like, to get back into that mix, you need at least one fight where you knock off a contender just to prove it and show us that you are still Ioana. You know what I mean? Like, Rose has her plate full right now. Like, she's got the rematch with Zhang Weili this Saturday, and possibly if she beats Zhang Weili, she'll have a fight with Carla Esparza lined up next, or which I'm gonna talk about here in a minute with Carla. Or if Zhang Weili knocks Rose Namajunas off, you know, Rose might try to get a third fight with Zhang Weili right away. You don't know. Or she might just go back and fight Carla Esparza, and they fight in the title eliminator to get that fight. I don't know, maybe, but they probably want to fight for a title again just to make it kind of historical. But yeah, I think that, you know, Rose Namajunas, like I said, her plate is full right now. She beat Zhang Weili, there's Carla, and so on. So I think that Ioana is in a good place right now where if she's taken out, to get back into the rankings, you got to hit one of those gatekeepers up. You know, I think that's fair. But going deeper into the interview, you know, Ariel Helwani, he brought up what dates were they looking at for her to come back. And she said March or April of 2022. And, you know, I brought that up before this interview even came out. I was like, the ideal time for her to probably come back would be like March or April. And I said that the name that would be good for her would be Marina. So that way, that would be the same turnaround time for the next time, you know, Carla fights the Rose Zhang Weili winner, you know, which makes a lot of sense. And if she comes back in March or April, that'll mark 2 years, you know, maybe 2 years in a month. So with that, when he brought that up, you know, she said that's when she's coming back. No opponent's name yet. You know, she's still staying in shape. And, you know, again, the names like Marina Rodriguez were brought up. But she said there's only three names on her list, you know, Rose, Weili, and Carla. And I was like, what? I was like, what? Carla? You know, I was like, Carla. And, you know, because Ariel Helwani is like, you know, that's a good fight. Dana White brought it up. Marina Rodriguez, that's a good fight. That's a legit name. You know, of course, Carla has a win over Marina, but Marina's on a, you know, 3-0 win streak in 2021. You know, she's been vocal about wanting to fight before, but she was like, you know, that's not a fight she wants. There's only three fights she wants, you know, that are related to the title shot. And she was like, but, you know, Carla Esparza, why not? That's what she was like. She was like, why not? You know, Carla wants to, you know, get back into the mix. She could kind of fight her again. But to me, that sounds, again, like going back up to where she's saying that the fighters are using her or want to use her legacy, referring to Marina Rodriguez. It's sounding like, you know, she wants the easy tune-up before she gets back into the title shot, right? She wants somebody that she easily dominated, you know, years back to win the title, you know, to secure that status again, you know, since Carla Esparza holds down that what number, I'm not looking at the rankings right, number three spot, right? So she holds down that number three, or what, number three, number two spot, whatever. She wants to enter the rankings again by beating somebody easy that she knows she can handle. Because let's be real, style-wise, Ioana is a style nightmare for Carla Esparza, right? That's a style nightmare for Carla Esparza. That's why she would want that fight again, because it was so easy the first time. Whereas Marina Rodriguez, that's high risk. You know what I mean? That's high risk for her. And in her eyes, probably low reward. But I think the Carla Esparza fight against, well, the Carla Esparza rematch with Ioana, it's not really a fight that needs to happen. I mean, it could at this point. If Dana White continues to tell Carla not to sit back, they might force that fight on her. But I think a lot of people would kind of be up in arms finally for Carla Esparza and kind of speak up for her, maybe. But, you know, we never know, right? You never know. They might put that on her. So, Carla, let me just go back here. Ioana and Carla, they fought way back in 2015, and she stopped during the second round. So, that was a pretty much dominant fight. That was a pretty much dominant fight. So, yeah, Ioana saying that, why not to a Carla Esparza fight, and that being one of the three opponents she wants. Of course she would say that. You know, all three of them, because she fought Rose twice, so eventually maybe she thinks she could beat her a third time. Zhang Weili, she already fought once, which a lot of people feel like Ioana did win that fight. And then again, Carla Esparza, she stopped in two rounds. Easy work, right? Easy work. So out of those three fighters, you think that she's looking for the best, which she is, you know, because we're going by the rankings. But you're looking at the fighters that, you know, she's ran it back with, the fighters that she, you know, controversially lost to, and one fighter she dominated. So if you think about that, those are easy fights. You know, those are easy fights, but they're hard to get right now. So why not go for Carlos? Well, why not go for Marina Rodriguez, who's free, who holds a lot of weight, who's free right now? Well, we know why, because that could be a style nightmare for Ioana, right? It could be like striker versus striker. You're dealing with a very efficient power puncher, very solid, tall, long striker in Marina Rodriguez that has timing and has power in both hands. So that could be a fight that she wants to avoid because she doesn't know the outcome as well as she does with Rose, Carla, and Zhang Weili, right? So if you think about that, like I said, if you break these interviews down sometime, you'll kind of read between the lines and short and say, okay, this person here does not want to risk it all anymore. You know, they're in a different place, which, okay, look, Ioana, I understand now she's in a business mindset and I respect that. But, you know, this is still the fight game. And to make so many arguments like you're still the best, your legacy holds this weight, you kind of have to tone it down at some point. You know, the fight game to a lot of fans is like, what have you done for me lately? It's still like that. And for good reason for her. You know, again, she's 2-4. She's lost her four title fights and just won against Tisha Torres and Michelle Waterson. So with that type of weight, people are going to want to see you in there with a hungry contender and knock them off, just to make us say, okay, that's Ioana again. That's the Ioana we talking about. Maybe this time she'll go in there and she'll stop Zhang Weili for real. Maybe she'll go ahead and put it on her this time, or Rose, or whoever it is, you know. But we really don't want to see Carla Esparza for the sake of Ioana getting the title shot. Maybe for Carla, like if Carla wants to get some get back, hey, that's fine, right? If she calls it out, give her Ioana. But other than that, I don't think that's a fight that we want to see at this point. Well, yeah, I'd watch it. But since Carla already did her five fights, I'm cool with her getting the title shot, you know. But going back to Ioana, as far as her business mindset, I respect that all day long. Like, get the money, get it. But to me, I think if you're reaching a certain point where you don't really want to challenge yourself anymore, just make the money outside of the game now. Call it a day. You know, this might be a sign. You've been taken out of the rankings. Your mindset's more so title this, title that, and just living off your legacy in the past. Why not go? You know, why not just go and kind of leave it at that? Because, you know, she was the most consistent strawweight champion. You know, she's beat some fighters that, you know, she's beat plenty of fighters that Rose has lost to or had trouble with. You know, she's made it look easy. She's an exciting fighter. She's left off that way. And if she can't really make up her mind, you know, maybe it is time to go. Because even Dana White, going back to Dana White, he did respond to Ioana about her situation, because they brought up the fact that Ioana said, look, she wants a big piece of the cake, right? She wants a big piece of the cake. And Dana White said, she's been eating cake. He was like, she's been eating cake. You know, she's been eating cake in the game. You know, he's saying she makes good. For what she is, she makes good. For where she stands, she makes good. Again, 2-4, I think so as well. You know, her checks are probably good, even in her non-title fights. And that's her worth, right? Because, yeah, she doesn't put butts in seats like a Conor, or like I said, Francis Ngannou, and so on. So I agree with him on that. You know, she's been eating. And he said he's also been in the mix of talking to her about coming back. And her only mindset was title shot. And he was like, you know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So Dana, he's kind of on our side on this one. You know, that's why she's out of the rankings. I think he's definitely on our side with this, because he's been seeing it too, that all she wants to fight is Rose and Wei Li. But it's like he said, it doesn't work that way. You know, every fighter, they have to kind of go back to the chopping block every now and then. You know, they have to go back and see where they stand, or like I said, renew their status, even if it is one or two fights. In Joanna's case, it may be just one fight. But I really, again, don't see her getting a title shot next, because, you know, it's been too long. It's just been too long since she's fought. And like I said, she might be taking some time off because of the head stuff. You know, maybe it was a bad concussion, and maybe medically she just wanted to kind of give herself a break to heal. Well, that's fine. Okay. Well, after you heal, prove it to everyone again and yourself that, you know, it's been 2 years and you can shake the rust off against a fighter like Marina Rodriguez. You know, if you really are the best and you hold down this legacy, why not just go ahead and prove it against one of these fighters? It should be easy work. It should be an easy check. And kind of go from there. So, I just kind of wanted to go back and talk about this interview, like I said, because there was just so many things, you know, I was kind of studying in it, and just so many key words she used here where you could tell she's just wanting the easy fights at this point. She wants easy fights and the easy road and big money, because, again, there are no stupid fights at strawweight. She should know that there are no stupid fights at strawweight. You're kind of insulting these other fighters' talents and their accomplishments. You know, Marina Rodriguez is not a stupid fight. Jan Zhanna is not a stupid fight. Of course, she thinks Carla Esparza is not a stupid fight, right? She wants that. But Rose and Wei Li just don't make sense for her right now. That fight doesn't make sense for her right now. And then the fact just saying people are using her. Yes, Joanna, people will want to fight you to build their stock up and climb the rankings, especially if you're number two. The person behind you, the number three, four, five, they will want to fight you. You know what I mean? It's not like they're using you, but they are using you as a stepping stone, right? So, final thoughts. Yeah, I just want to come through, do this mini podcast episode here, and just kind of talk about Joanna. Again, I might talk about it again on another episode, because my question is, do you think she's living in the past too much, or is she living off of the past? You know, that's kind of the question I want y'all to answer, because I think she's a little bit of both. You know, she's definitely living off of it, which is good for her, but I think she's still living in it, which is dangerous, you know, because it won't get you anywhere, because you see it got her taken out of the rankings. You know, her living off of the past is getting her her brand built. You know, living off of the past got her brand built, and it's still got money coming in for her because she has a reputation. But when you live in the past, you won't get the fights that you want. You know, you will not get the fights you want. And it doesn't look like she's getting one, because, like I said, you know, she said everything was just stupid right now. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And Carla, her wanting to call the Spars a fight instead of Marina, you know, that just shows you that, she's willing to do something easy just to get back to that big check or that big fight and kind of close it out. But before she can get a title shot, I think it should be Marina Rodriguez. All signs point to Marina Rodriguez. I think Marina would take that fight. You know, she pushed it out now, but I think she would take it. I do. So, yeah, guys, that's pretty much all I got on this one. Let me know in the comment section what y'all think. And if I do put this on my my podcast platform, just subscribe to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Tuned In, and the show is up there. So, yeah, guys, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. I'll be back with another full episode. Joanna, is she living in the past, or is she living off of the past? I think it's a mixture of both. Let me know, guys. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.